someone. Whatever. She likes listening to me talk.
You like hearing yourself talk.
Don't we have that in common?
Do you think it'll leave a scar?
No. But it's okay if it does.
Hello to all the geek enthusiasts, nerd aficionados, and deadheads. It is time for another Malice Cast TV Talks, The Walking Dead, Season 9, Episode 14, Scars. But before we get into that episode, really, really quick, touch on a couple of moments that happened in Season 9, Episode 13, Choke Point, because we weren't here last week to talk about it. And there's some things that were like, I need to talk about really quick with them. So the major things that happened in Season 9, Episode 13, let me get my notes out here. One,
I'm trying to remember what the episode was even about right now.
There wasn't much. Yeah. It was a filler episode. But the last 15 minutes was what everybody waited for to watch on it. And I know Mrs. Malice doesn't think that it came to fruition of what it was. And you know what? Before I even just start saying people's names, let's talk about who's sitting here talking to you guys. I am S5150. Along with me, I have my other two deadheads. Icy Zorro, how are you, sir?
Oh, great. We're off to a hot start right now after taking last...
Our producer, Jack, threw me off with talking about that show.
I also realized on our main cast the other night, which is Fridays at 8, I forgot to memorialize Pi Day, so I currently have my Pi shirt on. Oh, IMP. There we go. That's all. Good.
We lost Mess.
Good. That's fun. Quick, Vamp.
I'm going to introduce myself.
No, I'm actively trying to remember what last week's episode was about.
I remember the ending, and I remember Daryl and Big Dude fighting, but probably...
Yeah, the Daryl and Beta fight was actually probably the best part of the whole thing.
That's the only part I remember. I know, right? He's being... Matt, are you okay? We hear the zombies at your house.
He's gonna be so concentrated on the computer, he's not even gonna hear his behind him.
Oh, I'm back.
He survived.
I don't know what happened. My mouse grabbed like another web address and pulled it up to the Hangout, and then it clicked over there, and then it said you can't come back.
No podcast for you.
I had to close everything. Okay. Yeah, and then I don't know if you introduced her, but Mrs. Malice is also on the cast.
I introduced myself.
Okay, there we go. So everybody knows the introductions. So real quick, episode 13 of season 9, Chokehold. Last 20 minutes was really
Chokehold or Choke Point?
Choke Point. We just wanted to see a chokehold, which didn't happen. The last 20 minutes of the episode is really what everybody was waiting for, which was Daryl and Beta standoff. And Mrs. Malice talked about that with me a little bit. And she's like, it wasn't as good as advertised. No. I think. Yeah.
Really?
And
I thought it was pretty good.
It was good, but it could have been better. But it's literally the only part of the episode I remember. So.
Yeah. I mostly remember like them setting up in this abandoned building that apparently Connie's group had been to before, because they had little stashes of supplies and stuff. I remember them setting up going on the stairs so that, you know, the normal walkers couldn't get up there, but the whisperers could. And I thought that fight was pretty, apparently it took them like 3 days to shoot it.
It was a fun fight, but it wasn't like knockout drag. I mean, Daryl got thrown around a couple times.
It was literally knockdown drag out. It was knockdown drag out, kicked down an elevator shaft.
You gotta think about the actors behind it. They should have made it more like, because you got Sons of Anarchy, tough guy, and Daryl. Fighting, it could have been better. It was good, but it could have been better.
The like truth is, there was no baby oil and Daryl and Beta in the baby oil wrestling for Mrs. Malice to be like popcorn.
Wanted a kiddie pool. And... sure, the KY only comes in these 6 ounce tubes. I can't get it in 50 gallon drums.
That would have been my day, but instead we were covered in, one was covered with a zombie skin mask, and Daryl was Daryl.
Yeah. And of course, Beta didn't die because we can't have him die yet, because we need to have him meet Negan.
I'm going to have an issue this episode as well, but they, and I've been saying this lately, I'm getting hard not checking to make sure things are dead. You should be stabbing everything in the head as you walk by, even if you think it's already dead. And what, Daryl, look down the elevator shaft.
Isn't there like a 10 rule thing for zombies? You know, they even mentioned it in Zombieland. Double tap.
Well, oh, yeah. What was Daryl going to do if he looked down the shaft? He's not going to jump down there and elbow drop him. And
no, but you can watch him for 30, 45 seconds and see if he's wriggling around at all.
Just start dropping stuff, trying to, trying to hit him.
Throw pennies.
You could shoot an arrow into his head.
Absolutely that, yes. Crossbow to the head, please.
That's true. Another thing that I wasn't able to bring up on the last cast we were on when we were talking about shipping Connie and Daryl together, and I was so mad at myself that I didn't get this ship together. Yep. In terms of what to call them, you take the first part of Connie's name, Caw, and you take the last part of Daryl's name, Errol, and you get Carl, and it is how Rick says Carl.
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 Oral.
So much.
That is what that ship should be called.
Yeah.
It's set up.
It's too late. It's already in the zeitgeist, as Donnie. If we had said it last,
I know it's so bad.
I don't know.
I do love the fact that she's now writing notes and stuff. I think it's kind of cool that she's actually writing notes and she's like pointing at him and showing emotion. She's a really good actress.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's fantastic. Yeah, and both times that I've seen her on Talking Dead, she has been hilarious on the couch as well. I mean, she's always there with an interpreter, but she comes up with some really funny stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, last bit from the episode prior was we got a new group that's not from the comic books that was introduced in the series. We saw
Highwaymen.
Things, yeah, little hints to them with that was what the logo was from, was, yeah, the Highwaymen who joined along to help out the kingdom because Carol's a badass, and that's the gist of it. That's why they joined along. But this is the Highwaymen for the Walking Dead series. This is not the country supergroup featuring Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, and Kris Kristofferson, which I think they really, really dropped the ball by not trying to get one of them to show up as a Highwayman. And then they really dropped the ball by not playing their number one country hit, The Highwaymen, when they were riding in to save everybody.
Those did look like some good old country boys.
Which would be interesting if you actually took the supergroup, The Highwaymen, and put them into The Walking Dead. You'd have two walkers and two live people. Too soon?
Fun after fun after fun there.
That's the first thing that jumped in my head when they said the Highwaymen. I was like, wait a minute. That's a country group.
Well, I mean, we need to get the Highwaymen having a rap battle with the Alexandria folk, because that'd be two live crews. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, good.
Now, the only thing I really wanted to talk about with the Highwaymen at all was you said it kind of. Carol's a badass. And I love that she's not just an out and out badass. She's a super adaptable, read the situation badass. Yep. Because offer the Highwaymen food and shelter and say, you know, you protect our roads and you can, you know, basically use us as like a B&B. And they're like, yeah, no, we're good. Carol's like, when's the last time you saw a movie? And that gets them. I love it.
Yep.
Chuck says, are they the dandy Highwaymen? Do they stand and deliver? Nah, straight adamant.
Goody two
shoes. Ruru too joins us in the chat as well. Welcome in on a Monday Walking Dead cast.
They do end up standing and deliver. They deliver them to their destination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's their purpose. So that was the gist of, because it was a filler episode, so we didn't miss much to talk about.
We didn't headburg it.
Yeah, so a burrito. Is just a, what does he say? I messed it up. A burrito is just a sleeping bag for my beans and rice.
An escalator can never break. It can only become stairs. They should have signs. Escalator temporarily stairs. Sorry.
This just became the, what is your favorite Mitch Hedberg joke cast?
I can't imagine a situation where I would need to prove that I bought a donut.
Oh, okay.
And edit point.
What is happening?
You don't know who Mitch Hedberg is, Mrs. Malice?
I do, but I'm like, what happened? We were talking about.
We can go back to Zombie Snow or whatever.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into last night's episode. Episode 14 of season 9, Scars.
And I've watched it twice.
This, in terms of reaction, bar none, favorite episode of season 9 so far, maybe one of the top 5 episodes, in my opinion, of the series. So really? I loved this episode. And mainly not due to the, it was a strong story, in my opinion, but the dialogue was fantastic in this episode. All the little things, Negan talking to Michonne, there was just so much stuff that jumped out to me as it was going on. There was two major storylines going on in the episode, one being your flashback to find out how certain scars on Daryl and Michonne came about, as well as
this was the Walking Dead's Arrow episode.
Yeah.
six years sooner.
Michonne, I don't know how you would describe it. Basically coming to terms with Judith, like
getting back on the same page.
Getting back on the what Carl wanted, what Rick wanted page.
Yeah. So let's talk about that part first. I'll talk about the little recap of that first before we go into the much deeper story, which was the flashback. And it opened up in modern time with Aaron showing up to Michonne's house, and she's like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Daryl's here." And she's like, "And you didn't let him in?" He's like, "He's not alone." And there he is with Lydia and everybody that was left over from the choke point episode.
Henry, Connie.
Yeah. And, you know, Aaron's like, "We can't trust her." And Michonne's like, "I trust Daryl." So she lets them in.
I trust Daryl as well.
I don't think he would bring along Lydia for nothing. You know, he's gonna still be weary. He doesn't seem like it as much, but he's still gotta be somebody weary. Jax's best acting from a kid this year. She needs an award from Judith. Yes. This was her best acting episode.
Henry, no.
Well, we didn't get very much Henry, so that was the good thing about it. But they come in, and the first thing that I wrote on this whole thing was Henry and Lydia sitting on the steps talking to each other after he had gotten his scar sewn up, and he's like, "It's ugly, it's, you know, just so worried about his wah scar," and she's like, "I like it," and I wrote down, "Chicks dig scars." So that's the first thing I thought of that. But in this little juncture, Michonne comes up to Lydia to talk to Lydia about things that she's had to do. I know I've jumped over some stuff, but things that she's had to do to keep people safe. And that's what we get in the flashbacks, and talks about how just risking herself would probably be easier instead of having to risk the lives of others, i.e. telling Lydia, walk away.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, make yourself the sacrifice as opposed to potentially risking all these lives that you're starting to come in touch with.
Hello.
Did we lose Ian?
Yeah, he came back.
Am I back?
Okay, that's why I was wondering why I was so quiet. I'm not used to Ian not talking.
Oh. Can you hear me? Am I back?
I can hear you. We can hear you. Can you hear me? Okay. So while you were potentially gone, we talked about the step scene with Henry crying about his scar and Lydia saying she thinks she likes it, which I said chicks dig scars.
Do they dig limbs? He got stabbed in the leg pretty good.
Yeah.
Was he shot or stabbed?
Stabbed with...
I was stabbed.
Yeah, he got stabbed.
I don't remember.
Another episode. That's why. Yeah, I know. And then we talked about Michonne's conversation with Lydia, basically telling her, be a sacrifice, walk away to save all these people.
Well, and keep in mind, this is the first time that Lydia and Michonne have talked since Michonne was throwing her in a jail cell. So, like, she is already kind of, you know, she doesn't know Michonne like we know Michonne. To her, this is a scary lady.
Yeah.
And she took a little bit of a different tack, you know, in the jail before she was all aggressive in her face. This time she was kind of just like, you know, kind of side-eyeing her the whole time. Like, body language was kind of like, you know, I'm not going to kick you out, but you're not really welcome. I thought it was a nice moderated approach.
Yeah, no, I liked the conversation with giving an underlying tone, like, let's see how smart you are. Do you understand what I'm telling you? type
of thing. The hell out of that is what I would have to say. She totally was like momming it up there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Then we got a really cool scene, and that was Daryl and Judith talking on the waterfront. And
got me right in the feels.
Yeah, the connection between them, and this is where I, like Jack said in the chat room, best acting from her from a kid this year. Yeah, this is where this is the episode where I didn't feel like up until later when you know she cried mommy, but
when it was the 5-year-old version like that, of her, like
freeze frame, hey, look at me type of thing. You know, she was actually really giving a good acting performance.
So you're starting to see what I saw when she was interacting with Negan, like on the road and stuff before.
Yeah.
I kind of saw like this kid knows what she's doing. She's a good actor for 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think my favorite moment in that scene too was towards the end of it where she, you know, where she's talking to Daryl and she's like, what would my dad do? And his response was to turn to look away. And she's like, yeah, that's what I thought. That reminded me so much of Rick. Just, it was literally like watching a little female Rick.
The funny thing about you bringing up that point is like what went through my head is like Rick is now a deity because I put WWRD. What would Rick do?
Yep.
he's become that. Because that's how they talk about him is just like he was this leader and, you know, yeah. So,
young civilization, very influential leader in the early years. Yeah, that dude's gonna end up a deity at some point.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
The religious leader will be known as the Michonne.
Skipping past what we got from the flashback scene at this point, we jump over to Negan talking to Michonne about Judith because she went. Okay, so Michonne went to go apologize to Judith. And
after Judith, one kid at dinner that's like, I'm not hungry, I already ate. Can I go to my
room? And Judith's not there. So, of course, where does Michonne go? To Negan. Hey, have you seen her? Have you talked to her? And he's like, no, no. But I think this was probably my favorite scene that I've gotten from Negan in a long time. Mm-hmm. Just the way that he talked to Michonne about, like, it's, you know... Basically, be a proper mom. I mean, it's your kid, and
yeah, without saying it in those exact words.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he says she comes to me because I listen to her and I talk honest to her. I loved her response to it. She's listening to me talk. She says you like hearing yourself talk, and he's like, we have something in common.
Right.
It's like I love this scene so much.
And yeah, like I say, he doesn't say it in so many words. He doesn't say you're being a bad mom, but he's like, no, I'm honest with her. You know, I she wants to know the stories. I tell her the stories. And Michonne's like, I'm her mom. And he's like, yeah, maybe think about that.
Well, that's the thing I loved about that scene is that she tries to catch him off guard. Like he's the bad guy in her mind. He won't change. He's always going to be what he was. And she's like, well, did you tell her about Glenn and about Abraham?
And he's like, yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, first he makes it seem like no, you know, because she's like, uh-huh, I got you. And he's like, you know, she's got questions. And that stuff has come up, and yeah, I've told her about it. And it was like, Negan did to her what Judith did to her two episodes ago where she said people don't change, and Judith's like, you did. And she was like, go to your room. She did the same thing with Negan.
Just stay in yourself. Oh wait.
No ball. Thank you. No ball.
No, but I think that ball. I mean, this is going to what I've been saying about Negan, which is I think he really has changed to a degree. Maybe not completely. He's not a completely altruistic guy. He's still himself. But like, I think that if they were to give him limited access to the rest of Alexandria, he would be he'd do well with it. I think it wouldn't be a huge issue.
Mm-hmm. And we've got Jack actually creating the Psalms of Rick in the chat room. 464 months about Rick showed up and kicked Negan's ass, and we found peace for a time. Then the great blast and the river of the dead swept away the great Rick, but hope was not lost. The young Messiah that was foretold Judith was there to lead us to the promised land.
Speaking of, and I know we're not quite in the past one yet, but like it was just a very brief thing, so I want to make sure we hit it. Her finding Rick's python. Like we knew that Judith had it in the, you know, in the future, but just finding that gun buried in the mud there, that was kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was the first thing I was going to touch on. Thanks for jumping.
Oh, ruined the whole thing. Cut this out. We'll do it again.
Yeah. yeah. So that's the point she brings up. She's my daughter, and he says she is your own daughter because she's gotten her own ideas, which is what Michonne does. So it's how things should be. And then something bothered me about when she, so Michonne, I'll get to it in a second. Michonne catches up to Judith and Judith gets overrun by zombies. Michonne goes ape crazy trying to get to her. And you see how much of a badass Judith is because she takes out zombies. I mean, she's slicing legs off and stuff and taking them out like it's.
Well, yeah, because otherwise she can't reach their skulls.
Yeah.
And she almost gets
in that situation.
Then she does her patented 80s like smile, turn around like, look at me, mom, you know, and Michonne's that one heartbeat away from doing the like belly laugh like, oh. God. And then she gets grabbed by a zombie. Michonne comes and saves her, and you learn up a valid lesson about always, like you said, double tap or make sure everything's dead before.
Make sure they're dead. Everyone you walk by, even if it has a hole in its head already, stab another one in there just in case.
Yeah. You might have not gone in too far, you know? You got to double tap.
But they end up talking around Carl's grave, and I think I saw it later, but it bugged the hell out of me that, like, Carl was such an important piece of this community. And
isn't that grave unmarked?
That's no. What I said is like Carl doesn't get a gravestone.
No, it had a C and made out of stone.
I saw it on. Is that what it was on the yeah. ground?
That okay. was his gravestone because like other people had boots. Someone had like it looked like a what's it called, an urn sitting over there like in one part, and you know there's a bunch of little graves right there. Which
well, I mean, in Hilltop, everybody gets a little cross or something like.
Yeah,
like
they're all in a graveyard together. Carl's just buried in the middle of someone's lawn.
No, there's several other like, things around there. Go back and watch it. There's like boots sitting on the grass. There's like that thing.
I'm gonna have to watch it again. I didn't see any context around that. I saw them standing in the middle of grass, and I was like, "Wait, they just bury him where he died? What happened here?"
No, remember. They dug the hole.
I know they burned the thing. Yeah.
There's other stuff around it. Look, go back and watch.
But like his is the only grave that doesn't look maintained either. Because when you look up close, it's okay. But far away, it's like the grass is overgrown on just his mound.
that upset me because
better fertilizer in that spot.
Apparently.
What type of tree are they trying to grow? All we got is crabgrass. What the hell?
A pudding tree.
They're trying to grow a one-eyed tree. Okay.
It's got one knot. Oh, we're back.
Oh, it's not the three-eyed raven. It's the one-eyed tree. Nice.
And then you get Judith talking about her scar. You know, do you think it'll scar? And Michonne's like, no, but if it does, it's okay. And now going back to the flashback of why she says that.
Yeah, well, and I kind of thought for a second there that Judith was hoping it was going to scar. Like, this will be my battle wound.
Once again, chicks dig scars. So, flashback. We finally find out where the scars come from. So you open up the scene with the whole episode opens up with Michonne looking for Rick still on the bank and killing off some of the zombies that were left behind from the explosion. And she finds Rick's gun in the mud and takes it home.
It's the first part of the episode where I'm like, stab each one as you walk by. It's not hard.
Which she did. Michonne knows.
A couple of them, but there was still, like, she left some of them alive, too. I'm like,
What Daryl says in that scene actually tugged at my heartstrings, too. The fact that he wasn't going to stop looking.
Okay, so that bugged me. I love the, and I know that it's Daryl, but it bugged me because he's not looking 6 years later right now. And so all that went through my head when he said, ain't going to stop looking ever, was like Jack from Titanic. Don't ever let go, Rose. I won't.
Right. Well,
I was like, you're dead. I'm letting go.
I don't know. I kind of disagree with you there. I think he is still out there looking. I think that's why he spends so much time with just himself and Dog in the wilderness. That's why he's not part of the communities all the time.
He's 6 years, he would have covered something. So much. In 6 years, he would have covered so much time that either he's given up hope and, yeah, he's dead, yeah, or he would have started going elsewhere. And that's the other
branching out.
That's the other bugging thing about it is that Janice disappeared. Gabriel knew that Janice had a helicopter. In 6 years, Gabriel's never said anything to anybody.
Yeah, that okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't put him in that. This.
Did he know? I thought he got knocked out before her helicopter shot up.
No.
Telling him that friends were coming, but I don't remember him seeing a helicopter.
He heard it.
I saw the helicopter. Hmm.
We all saw the helicopter, yeah.
Throughout the entire Walking Dead expansion.
I want to mention this real quick because Jack has said it in the comments a couple of times. When Michonne finds that gun, we all said that was a sad scene. He's like, yeah, who treats a gun like that?
Yeah, exactly. Jack says he is still looking. He thinks he is still looking because live or dead, Daryl is looking to find him. He's still looking, just like OJ's looking for the real killer still.
Mm. Golf courses across America.
Yeah. So, oh, God, that was set up so well. But yeah, no, it's that's what bugs me is that I don't put it on Gabriel to figure out like, hey, this could have happened and this could have happened and maybe this is what's going on and Rick is out there. He's not the, I could see Eugene doing that if Eugene would have been the one that saw it going.
Yeah, Eugene definitely would have made a connection there.
Nobody knows that Rick was taken. And that if I remember right, no one saw him taken.
Yeah,
but Daryl is such a good tracker. He would have found evidence of helicopter skids setting down.
Something, yeah,
somewhere.
Drag marks of the body.
Unless they just hovered half a foot off the ground when they were loading him on, which doesn't.
I will forgive Daryl for saying that I will never stop looking if he ends up showing up in one of the three movies of Rick and having found him or something like that. Then it's
absolutely.
Like, okay,
that would be epic.
Yeah. So that's what I'm waiting for to happen, but. Going along with it, the next scene that we get in the flashback is they've rescued some people. They brought them back to Alexandria, and this is where we start planting the seeds of why people are worried about having outsiders in and everything. And it's really crazy because one of the people that is in this group of survivors that they find is
Tara from Walking Dead.
Exactly.
True Blood. Weird.
Is Jocelyn. And yes, she was in True Blood. But the cool thing about this is she knew Michonne 15 years ago in college. And so.
And the nice point about that is that that actress, Retina Wesley, and Danai Gurira know each other from college.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is really cool.
They're both at, I think it was NYU at the same time, and they're both, you know, auditioning for the same stuff when they were first starting getting into acting. So the fact that they played old friends that hadn't seen each other in a while was supernatural for them, and it was great. Like, they had a natural friend.
All those scenes are just that much cuter, but, you know, we'll get to the point.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. So she knows Michonne so well that Michonne's pregnant with Rick Jr., and she's still looking for Rick. And even Daryl kind of tries to like, hey, you're pregnant. You know, you don't have to, I'll keep looking. You don't have to do all this. And Jocelyn knows her enough that when she's talking about it, she's like, I know you, you're going to still look for your man. You're going to, you know, that's who you are. And kind of
talk. You got that look on your face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can see the camaraderie there. You see, everything's fantastic. The next scene we get in there is the fantasticness goes away. Well, no, we don't get that first. First, we get Jocelyn freaking out, saying that she has to get back out, that there's still people to save. And so they go where Jocelyn sends them, and lo and behold, there's what, about 12 kids? That's part of her group. It's a group of munchkins.
It's like young kids and teenagers too. Like, she's the only adult.
Yeah.
She's Fagin, and everybody else is the Artful Dodger and Oliver Twist's crew. Yeah.
Well, she talks about, like, you know, kids are the future, and taking care of them, and all the good things about bringing a group of kids along, and how it doesn't drive her crazy. Yeah. The next scene we see is that she and all the kids are gone, including the kids from the actual Alexandria. They've taken everybody with them. They've taken Judith. So Michonne starts freaking out. They find a body killed, and they see little footsteps running away. So bloody footsteps running away. So
the children of the corn had escaped.
In the next flashback scene, I swear the only thing that popped in my mind was Children of the Corn.
At least a couple of them. The branding scene, especially. I think both of the kids that did branding had, like, you know, silk white hair. Waiting for their eyes to glow.
Jack is talking about the markings left by a helicopter for picking up Rick and Daryl, finding him or not. We need to go back and watch the episode, because I don't know if they actually even landed on the land. They may have just touched down on the water.
No, right, I think they hovered over the ground like army style, don't land.
They would have no reason to do that.
They don't want to leave any markings behind. Off,
why would they have any concern about leaving markings? We don't know how far away they're located. But if you're loading somebody onto the chopper, sit down. It's way easier than hovering and moving back and forth. And I would think that, yeah, Jack brings up a good point. They wouldn't have sat there for long, so it probably wouldn't have left a deep impression, especially if they landed on grass or something like that. But actually, grass would be dented in if everything else was standing, and you could see the big blown-out circle. And I'm guessing that, you know, everybody got over there as soon as friggin' possible after that explosion. So they would have been there in time to see evidence, I think. But
I agree with that.
Applying logic to a zombie show again.
Yeah, once again, it's a zombie show, yeah. So like you said. She drove for miles. I don't know what you're talking about. She drove for miles before they picked her up.
He's saying Janice drove Rick for miles before they got to a helicopter.
No, she
that is not true. Picked her
up right where he got blown.
Riverside.
Where his body got blown to. So I don't know how far down the water he went. Oh. He may have gone down the water for miles.
She was driving her and Gabraham or Gabraham.
Gabraham. It's a new ship for a fan fiction.
Father Gabriel and Abraham?
Abraham.
Her and Gabriel were driving miles because she was going to take Gabriel, but then...
To the dump, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no, it was back to the landing point, and then I think she saw what was happening, dumped Gabriel, and grabbed Rick instead because he's an A.
And she said she'd bring an A.
Yeah, and she said she'd bring an A, and Gabriel was a B.
But still, like, they were searching the riverbanks to try to find Rick's body or himself if he was still alive, and they got there as soon as possible. I think it would have been in time to see some evidence of a helicopter.
I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. Still love Gabraham.
That's nice.
So great.
I don't know where I was going with that name.
So Daryl and Michonne chase down Jocelyn and the kids, and the kids are
why did she not bring anybody else?
They're ruthless little buggers,
right? Know? There's like 10 of them, and she brings one dude with her and there are multiple children of theirs missing. Shouldn't everybody, like, they should go mob justice those kids.
If it was one of my kids that was taken and Daryl and Michonne were going, I'd be like, I'm going too. I want my kid back.
I wonder if it's maybe a case of, like, if it's your kid that's taken, you just go. So her kid was one of them. And she didn't even stop to think. She was just like, I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she didn't want to waste any time. She wanted, they wanted to, you know, get out of there. Not like put a posse together. But I love your comparison to what the group was.
Oliver Twist.
Mm-hmm. My comparison that I wrote down was Littlefinger and his sparrows. Because that's, he just sends out the kids to do, and that's what happens. These kids got knives. They get Daryl. They shoot Daryl like before he can shoot first.
To be fair, it's actually Varys and his spiders, or his and his little sparrow.
It's Varys. Okay. Yeah, it was Ferris and the sparrows. Okay.
I mean, it could be Sherlock Holmes and the Baker Street Irregulars, but I guess nicer version. Yeah,
it's literally Children of the Corn, because what's her name? I forgot her name. Evil lady chick is like the person they worship, the devil or whatever, Satan.
She keeps them safe.
Mm-hmm. And they're, yeah, I like seeing Rutina Wellesley as Fagin. She's the adult leader of this bag of criminal kids.
Yep. Yeah. And they're going to pick up more kids and more kids.
Consider yourself. Never mind.
So they get a hold of Daryl and Michonne. They tie him up, and now we see where the scars came from. They actually were branded by the children with an X, which... thank you, Trudeuce 02 jumped in the chat room and said, "Hey man, love the stream. Keep it up, everyone." Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's exactly what it is.
PMP, which, by the way, I don't know if you saw my shirt. I've got my pie shirt on here. MP took a totally different message from your hat. That's good.
Hey, you know what? If you take a strong message from it, either way, it says we're all infected. Go for it.
Yep.
Oh my god, Wes, you probably should not wear that hat in public.
You know what, when they
stay positive or don't,
when they finally release Negan, I can switch to the Lucille is Hungry hat, but they just won't release the guy out of prison, or thirsty Lucille's thirsty hat. Yeah, so oh god. This is Tripper drowned. She's drowned.
I need a Lucille's thirsty hat. But it needs to say a Rosita.
Rosita. You need a look at the flowers sweatshirt.
I need that. Oh god, that would be fantastic.
I lost point. No, yeah. So okay, so they get the scars branded onto them.
Daryl, which I think the kids kind of they obliquely explain it later when they're actually attacking. They say something along the lines of like, "Mark your kill, you know, chase your mark or something, or kill your mark or something like that."
Yeah, you mark your
mark your kill, kill your mark. I think that was, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, and PMP says, "Crazy how Walking Dead hasn't been good since season 3," and that's what a lot of people think. And this episode, that's what I wanted to say about this being one of my top 5, is this last episode was actually really, really good. There's even articles out there saying if you haven't watched Walking Dead because you wrote it off, at least watch this last episode because it's just that good.
You will be completely lost.
Yeah,
you'll be completely lost, but just the
lost, but the acting in it is phenomenal.
Yeah, the lead up to Saviors and Negan All Out War, that was absolutely worth watching. There's a couple of seasons in there where I was like, yeah, but it is, the last 3 or 4 years have been real good.
Well, Trudeuce is asking, should I pick back in the show? Stopped at 7, to be honest. And you know what? A lot of people stopped around mid 8 because All Out War was great, but they really dragged it out.
It
more than they had to.
So
but now good. People have an option to binge it.
What I would say is if you watch 7, or if you end at 7, watch the recaps for 7 and 8. To get the gist of it, mm-hmm. and jump in at 9 because 9 has been really, really good. They got a new showrunner, Angela King. She's been killing it with the writing. New characters that have been added in have been fantastic. I would definitely, that's the way I would do it if you don't want to watch those two seasons.
It's funny because before I used to fast forward through like the credits and stuff at the beginning, Now I actually watch it because I like how they did it. It's so beautifully done.
Yeah.
I love it.
And did you catch that 2 episodes ago they added whispers into the opening scene, walking with one of the walkers?
I did not.
Yeah.
Oh wait. Yeah. No, because one of the walkers has a knife or something like that. Yeah.
Does it?
It has a knife and it has the strings tied behind it. Yeah. Yeah. So
they're
updating the intro as the season goes along.
Oh, I love it.
So,
I love it.
But yeah, so Michonne is a badass pregnant woman. She starts getting into a fight with the pipe, with a big old pipe, and telling these kids, "I don't want to hurt you," swinging at them. The kids,
I felt kind of bad for the girl holding the katana. I was like, Michonne's got a pipe, but she is about to school you.
I'm going to be honest. Michonne kind of reminds me of when I was pregnant. I'm pretty sure Mr. Malice can like concur on this too, that had that, you know.
How many children did you kill?
You were chasing kids with big lead pipe?
I mean, if they brutal. Were trying to stab my stomach, yes, I would.
Jack says you called her a momster when you watched.
Yeah, I called her a momster. She's a momster.
Oh God, we got Gabraham and momster tonight from Mrs. Malice. Wonderful.
We are all about portmanteaus right now.
So one of the kids slashes at Michonne and gets her stomach, and I started wondering, is that why RJ talks like a gremlin? It's because that. Not-
I didn't even think about that. Oh my God. No, that's no.
Besides the belly slash, she got kicked and hit by what was her name, Jocelyn, mm-hmm. with 2x4 like 8 times. Like he's severely cracked ribs.
He talks like a monster because his mom is a monster.
This is never going away, is it? It's gonna stick for the rest of time.
Probably.
Oh God. Yeah, so speaking of Jocelyn beating her, they grab the kids and start running. I love how like Judith is just running along with them, like big old smile on her face, like mm-hmm. yeah, let's see.
Which kind of gets explained a little bit later.
Yeah, so she runs after them, and they've come to a dead heat where it's like, okay, we'll just kill all their kids and we'll get out of here. And that's when Michonne has her look at the flowers moment, because she just these kids. She has no mercy for these children.
First of all, the kid that she sends in to the trailer to kill Judith and the other kids, it's basically, remember the feral child from Mad Max 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clean her hair.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting that kid to be like,
Here's the thing, though, too, about that whole situation. As a mom, if I was put in that situation and heard this lady say, hey, go kill those kids and we'll get out of here, Mama Bear would have kicked in at that moment, and yeah. I would have went.
Yeah.
Everybody get to my well, kid.
So yeah, so Michonne gets the drop on her friend Jocelyn. Jocelyn makes the classic bad guy mistake of trying to get the one liner in before killing your enemy,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Michonne just kind of, you know, Inigo Montoya's her, just grabs the sword and. But I so that kid has not entered the trailer yet, but he's got his knife out, and I was fully expecting her to go Mama Bear mode and be like. Kid, I just want to let you know right now, if you touch any of those kids, I'm going to kill all of you. Just so you know. So don't do that. But yeah. She kept on just saying, like, please, please don't. Please, no. And I was like,
because she's still in that mindset of going from Rick, what Rick changed into with Negan being put into jail instead of killing him. She's keeping that. She's trying to keep what Rick was preaching alive. Mm-hmm. You know, people, you know, They're just misunderstood, and you know these
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, but this is, you know, like six, seven months later. So I mean, I get that she's still trying to keep that all alive, but like as a nearly 9 month pregnant woman, she's got to be in super hormonal mom mode, and one of her other kids and some of other kids that are in her care have been taken or are about to be killed. I think she's. I mean, she kind of does end up just cutting through all the other people.
Oh God, yeah, she chops that one kid's head off without even a thought when he comes at her.
Which is the only one that might have been an adult, and they didn't show us killing her the rest. Which yeah. Classy move.
Well, no, I mean nobody wants to see kids killed on.
Well, they didn't show Carol blow out the back of the head of looking at the flowers either. But yeah. You know that's yeah that you know what's happening. So
look and back to the pilot episode. Rick blasts a small child.
Yeah, but she looks like a zombie.
Yeah. So. The thing about this, too, is now we do understand why Michonne was the way she was in past episodes.
This is why that she's very protective and is because of this. And Daryl even brings it up to her, like, have you told Judith everything? And that's what happens when they finally have this heart to heart after the zombie killing that happened.
After Chris Hardwick grabs her ankles.
Yeah. Chris Hardwick was the zombie that grabbed her is what the is being said on the Walking Dead Wikia. But she tells her, and this is where I'm like, is she a genius, a super genius, or is she just got like
Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah. she's just got that she remembers everything because what is she, 4 or 5?
Hold on.
I think they said 5 in the show.
And she literally remembers the entire thing and why she did what she did. And
hugely traumatic event from childhood.
My kid, our kid and my daughter can remember things from when she was 4 years old too.
Really? Okay.
So my earliest memories from when I'm like 2 and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember anything after 5. So, well,
once again, she's
you can't remember anything after 5? How is that mental disease treating you? Before 5. Show us your tattoos.
She's your guys' offspring. Super genius. You know, she's yeah. So
I'll remember it to her.
Jack is now in the comments getting super deep into the math.
Jack's about now, like how
deep into the math trying to. Trying to prove that they would not offend any helicopter traces.
Yeah, and since we haven't talked about this, if you don't know where we're talking at, we're at twitch.tv/MaliceCorp every Monday, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to talk The Walking Dead. That's where you can come and join us on this chat if you're listening or watching this elsewhere. And if you want to see what Jack has to say, because I'm not just going to sit here and read the chat room because he has great points, but there's a lot of in-depthness to it. You should come over here, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp. Read the cast. And while you're here, click that follow. If you have Amazon Prime, it means you have Twitch Prime, which means you get to give a free subscription to a channel every 30 days. So you can click that subscribe button while you're here and help us out. And we appreciate it greatly. So
here's the shocking thing, too, is he's actually getting really into the show now, too. So he's been watching it.
That was the gist of the episode. A couple points that I wanted to where I think that the strength of this writing went even further. So those kids, because of the traumatic experience that they are filming or story writing about with Michonne killing them and stuff like that, they both had a sit down with the family and the kids and the creators to talk exactly what was going to happen in the episode, what was going on, why people were reacting the way they were. And then each of those child actors sat down with a psychiatrist just to make sure that nothing.
Yeah. Denise Huth, who is one of the executive producers, was talking about that a little bit on Talking Dead. And it was something that honestly hadn't even occurred to me, but yeah, like explaining to children why they're doing what they're doing in that scene. So they don't just take it at face value. That's a good move on their part.
Yeah.
Of producers.
Well, the funny thing is it goes back
to the episode.
What was that, Mrs. Mouse?
I cut you off. No children were harmed in the filming of this episode.
No. Yes. Thank God. But no, I mean, that's the thing about it is it kind of plays back into the actual story of itself with what Jocelyn did to these kids to get them, you know, the way that she kind of permeated their minds to become what they became.
And a huge impact on the future of the three communities as well. Four, I guess, counting Oceanside. Is there a fifth one? I don't remember. But yeah, like the fact that Michonne locked herself down after that, I saw an interview with Denai where she was like, yeah, that's the moment where Michonne was like, there is nothing more important in my life than making sure that these children are not hurt. So screw everybody else. We're locking down Alexandria. We're going to take care of our own, and that's all. Yeah. And I love the talk that she has with Judith, because Judith, again, you know, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we said, like, out of the mouths of babes or the wisdom of children or something like that. She's like, you know, we're supposed to protect the people we love, right? And she's like, yeah, of course. She goes, well, then how come we don't love Daryl anymore, or Carol, or the King, or Maggie? And you can see the look at, like, Danai Gurira, such an amazing actress. We were talking before about if Alpha should win an Emmy. I think Danai should. You can see on her face, she's going through this, like, Oh God, it's more complex than that, but crap, you're also right.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's that once again, so here's two things that I have an issue with is her kid keeps having to tell her to make her come to terms and
moral compass,
you know. But two, now I'm really pissed that Danai told Judith people can't change, knowing this story with Jocelyn that shows you people change. It was one of her best friends, and they even connected from the beginning. And for what Jocelyn became, there's no reason that she should say that people can't change.
Yeah. I mean, she talks about that a little bit. She's like, you know, this is a girl that used to always have my back. She got me through the death of my mom. And you know, Daryl's explanation is, you know, some people, they hide the evil so well, they put on these masks all the time. Like, ooh, Whisperer's reference.
Judith wasn't the first kid to make those points too. Carl made them too.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Which is what's once again where Negan wins his argument. He throws it in Michonne's face with the letter. And she's like, you have no right to talk about Carl. You know, and it's like, dude, the guy's speaking truth to you. You're going to have to suck it up at some point. Even if it's coming from him.
Yeah. With Danai Gurira's star on the rise, because she's such a fantastic actress. And there was, you know, there's the news that she's going to be stepping back in the show a little bit. Mm-hmm. I can see the character going that way at this point. I mean, I can't see her abandoning her kids, but I can see her going off and looking for Rick and possibly being involved in those three movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big speculation is that's why she's stepping back, is they're going to have her going searching for Rick or something's going to happen that has her, you know, I don't know. But couple quick little, cause we like to talk about the trivia and the little aspects outside of just the show that we find out there. So the song at the very beginning of the episode is by a band called Boy Genius, and the song name is Souvenir. And usually there's very poignant things with the songs dealing with the show as well. I'm very lost on these lyrics, so I don't know if you guys can catch anything. There's only three verses to it. It's a rather small verses. You have Dreamcatcher in the rearview mirror, hasn't caught a thing yet, $20 in souvenirs, anything's worth trying.
So the protection that they thought was working isn't working.
Okay. To stay out of your nightmares, few hours in your dreams, last night always end up dying. You said, because of course I did.
Yeah, bad things keep happening, and they really should have learned to expect that by now.
Always managed to move in right next to the cemeteries and never far from hospitals. I don't know what that tells you about me. Pulling thorns out of my paper, working midnight surgery. When I cut a hole into my skull, do you hate what you see like I do? So
everything keeps going around me, and as much as I change, even if I try to change myself, it's really not helping anyone.
Dang, someone's spot on with this right now.
Yeah. It just
felt weird.
I'm
also really good at interpreting dreams, but I won't do that unless we have a special relationship.
Oh, wow.
And then the last little thing that I wanted to touch on was things that you may have missed. They did mention that, of course, Jocelyn did not know Michonne was there prior to coming to Alexandria. They actually had a sit-down talk, Angela and actress that played Jocelyn.
Rutina,
about whether she had known if she was there or not. And they had, like,
specifically... The consensus was no. Yeah.
No, she has no idea.
Well, that's the last thing she says before she died. I truly didn't know it was you, and I wish it hadn't been.
Yeah, her injury was an act, of course.
Jack says, I'm not just good at interpreting dreams, I'm also a master of interpretive dance.
Yeah, Jocelyn was like evil Peter Pan.
One of the things mentioned about her, yeah, so they said, of course, the injury was faked. She wasn't actually injured. It says, life has changed significantly for both of them, Jocelyn and Michonne. For Jocelyn, her truth is that the children are her family, and even though Michonne is an old friend, she's no longer family in this new world. It's about staying alive, and to her, staying alive is the children and taking over. So Michonne falls
She, yeah, she'd much rather be the biggest fish in a small pond than have to deal with others that she's not in control of. It's her way of dealing with the apocalypse, taking absolute control around her.
If you think about it, she's an evil Peter Pan. She goes and takes children and
Vito.
The lost boys. Yeah. The lost children, yeah. Of course, Henry's scar is a throwback to Carl's missing eye because he was embarrassed of it, and Lydia told him she liked it. That's what they're saying comparison wise for the comic.
Yeah. Surprised she didn't. Yeah, I was gonna say she didn't lick it.
I know, I was waiting for, oh gosh, she's gonna lick it. Oh, I like it.
Still a little fresh.
And then they also brought up the point that it was never ever discussed that Michonne would go into labor while fighting.
Like I said, she basically had all the ribs on her left side broken. I was pretty sure the shock was going to put her into labor there.
Yeah, they said they never actually discussed it. Now, this is the last thing I want to get into. Skybound does their mailbag once a month, and I just want to go on the very first thing that came up on the mailbag for this last month, and I didn't even think about to ask this, but when the kingdom... Oh, and that's the last part that we didn't talk about. The Whisperers found the kingdom in the episode.
I thought they found Alexandria.
No.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
The kingdom's closer to where they were at, too.
When the kingdom went to get the movie, we never even discussed, and people have been bringing it up, and they said that they've received a lot of questions about this, and without spoiling it, so we are going to be shown what it is, nobody has come close to what it is. The movie. What movie did they grab?
Star Wars.
It was Police Academy 3, clearly.
So that's what I want to know. If you guys listen to this or follow this, let us know what the TWD movie was that they grabbed.
Please tell me it was Shaun of the Dead, because that will be funny.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome. But that's the thing, is nobody's ever brought up zombies at all in this series. So how great would it be if it was a zombie film, like Night of the Living Dead?
Shaun of the Dead would be great.
Or Zombieland.
Or Zombieland, like, yeah. They would learn all the rules for the post-apocalyptic world if they watched Zombieland. And then they would learn to friggin' double tap.
Double tap.
Oh, God. I want it to be the movie with Andrew Lincoln where he's got the cards.
Love Actually?
Yes. They're all watching Love Actually.
I want it to be Van Wilder, The Rise of Taj. Oh, God. Topless.
Oh, okay. He's gone with the wind. That's what Rick is. He's gone.
Or
with
just,
the wind.
Just. I mean, at this point, if it's the only movie they have, what if all they could find was adult films?
Like,
oh, what if it? What
I don't want to show you the magic of cinema, but it's just porn.
I got one. I got
Jack
one.
Says it was Airplane.
I know what a movie is. It's The King and I.
How much of a dig would it be at the original director if it was The Mist, Stephen King's The Mist, Frank Darabont?
That would be funny, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's the cast. What'd you guys think about the episode? Did good, bad, indifferent?
Loved it. I wouldn't put it in my top five. I would say it's in the best of the second half. It is the best of the second half of the season so far.
Within
the season, the episode, what was it, 5-6, where Rick blew up the bridge, probably the best thing we've seen this year. My hope is that I wanted to think this was the last setting things into place episode, because now we have walkers outside of Kingdom, and pretty much everybody has either gotten to or is almost at the fair. But we've got two episodes left in the season, so I think the next one is going to be build up for the first 45 minutes and then get into the action for the last 50.
Well, before this episode came out, one of the things in the mailbag to Skybound was, on a scale of 1 to psychiatrist, how bad are the last 3 episodes of this season? And they said, bring 3 psychiatrists. Ooh. So we get the fair next, and we know what that's setting up.
We just got a bunch of children slaughtered by one of our heroes. So if it's getting worse, I'm intrigued.
Bell did some slaughtering too. We just didn't see it because he came out of that building with bloody knives.
missed that.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Yeah, but we know what the fair leads to. So
it would be great though if they did have one shot of how Daryl found Dog.
Well, okay, and that's another, leading to another point on the mailbag. Yeah, so somebody asked for a an origin story of Dog, which they kind of shot that one down. But the one that they did confirm that we'll probably get an origin story next season is Beta. So,
I look forward to that one then.
Spoilers. How is that spoilers? Did we tell you there's going to be an origin story for Beta?
Just that he's going to be alive at the end of the season?
Well, you would assume it. There's only two episodes left.
Yeah.
You think they're going to kill him off that fast? He hasn't met Negan yet.
No, that's true.
Negan first.
That's true. That's true.
He has to be called Two Knives.
Stabby McTwo
Knives. Stabby McTwo Knives, yeah. So he has to meet Negan. And I don't know if they're going to let Negan out. I assume Negan gets let out the last episode of the season.
I think he
absolutely. I would like that.
I think he might be let out on the last episode.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because I think either stuff's going to go down at the end of next week's episode with what we fear is going to happen. Either Ezekiel.
It's got to be Ezekiel.
This is the wrong show. It's not Fear the Walking Dead. It's The Walking Dead.
No, I know. But something's going to go down with either next episode, and then that's when Negan, because it's like, hey, we got to let you out because we need somebody in this fight. Or
somebody crazy and brutal and who likes to bash people's heads in. Here's a seal back.
Or we're gonna get a massive or next episode's gonna leave us a massive cliffhanger, and then stuff's gonna go down at the beginning of the last episode.
Do not pull another baseball bat finale.
The cliffhanger is gonna be the last
episode. If they do a cliffhanger, it's gonna be, oh no, there's heads on stakes, whose are they? Cut to black.
Yeah.
That or it's going to be Negan showing up, standing there going, "Who are you, you big mother?" You know, to Beta, like that's how it's gonna end. It's him. Him and Beta standing at each other.
Both wearing their jaunty little red scarves.
Yep. Which is a nod to Negan. They actually said that.
Yeah, Ryan said jacket, that on
the jacket is Jesus.
The waistcoat is the governor.
Waistcoat's governor.
I'm not sure about the "Have a Nice Day" T-shirt.
Haven't said anything about that, but
he said something about shoes or ankles.
Yes, he wraps his shoes in his sleeves like Daryl does. That's where the nods from his costume came from. Shoes.
That episode where Michonne picks up the gun towards the beginning of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Love those boots. I want a pair of those.
And Jack still says it's Forrest Gump. The nods were from the TV, the actual Walking Dead TV show. That's what they said for all the outfit. So, that's it. So we'll be back next week to talk about episode 15 of The Walking Dead. So please join us next Monday, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you want to catch any of our previous episodes or listen to any of the other podcasts that we have from the malice-corp.com website, it's not just the three of us. We have all types of geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados talking about all types of things. Head over to malice-corp.com. While you're there, if you want to support us and you're going to be purchasing something from Amazon, make sure to click on the Amazon link before you go and purchase whatever you're going to purchase. And we get help that way, and you still get the stuff that you're looking for. So we greatly, greatly appreciate it. But let's talk about where we can follow everybody. IC Zorro, where can people follow you if they're not here talking the dead with you?
At IC Zorro on Twitter, Instagram, and PlayStation Network.
And what about you, Mrs. Malice?
Mrs. Malice 4134 at Twitter.
There we go. And Jack Malice says 50 subs. We need 50 subs. We can do it.
Just veto. he's promising me in tights. You don't want that.
Hey, no.
You don't want that. A certain amount of you want that, and I will develop a Patreon for that. But the rest of you don't want that.
To see your fantastic dancing skills? Hell yeah.
If we get that many subscribers.
A dollar a video. You got it.
They both have to wear tights.
You know what? 50 subs to get you in tights, but 100 subs, and we get you acting out the Footloose dance scene.
Yes. Okay, see, now I'm down. I have no shame. It's okay.
Let's make that happen.
if you want to follow the whole group of everybody, Twitter at Malice Corp, or you can go to Instagram at malice_corp. You can hit us up on Discord. We have the Malice Corp server to look for, or you can hit us up on Facebook at on the groups. So facebook.com/groups/allthingsnerdpodcast, and come talk with us anytime. Over there, we love dropping memes and GIFs and having fun. And let us know, once again, hashtag TWDmovie. What movie are they going to watch at the fair? If you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp or on Instagram at @mest5150. Thank you once again, everybody, for joining us on tonight's cast. We will see you next week. As always, remember, we're all infected. Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Now we're going to cut for loose.